Good morning. It's going to be a good morning. It is. My name is Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock, and I'm really excited to continue on through our study through the book of John. That's what we've been doing as a church here. We've been going, we started this series, months ago. This is actually part 19 of our study through the Gospel of John. So we're actually taking the scriptures, we're taking the Bible, which at this church we believe is God's Word. So we're taking the Bible and we're taking this portion of Scripture from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, and we're just taking somewhat of bite-sized chunks, and we're just kind of working through that, and God's really been blessing that series, and I'm excited to continue on with it today. Today I've titled this section, we're going to look at actually chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. That'll be the main part of our text. And you need to know this morning, if you're new here, and I see quite a few new faces, that we actually take the scripture, we take the Bible, and we read it as God's word, and we follow it. And God's word teaches us. So this morning, we're gonna take a lot of verses, and we're going to work through them. And so I'm going to ask you to pay attention and read with me so that God might work in our hearts. The title of the message this morning is, Can You Hear Me Now? Of course, that's kind of a play on the advertisement we've all heard, but I just wonder maybe if God has that thought once in a while. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm gonna share this morning. I'm going to be a little vulnerable here, right here in church, and tell you that I have some weaknesses. Oh boy, do I. And one of them is I don't always listen well. And there's been an occasion or two or a million where it's gotten me into trouble, where it says maybe perhaps the speed limit, 65 miles an hour. They don't really mean that, do they? I'm in a hurry here. And yes, I've been pulled over and ticketed for speeding. But if I think about it, there's a lot of things that, you know what, I have a tendency not to listen to. And maybe that's just me, and maybe you guys have it all figured out, and you always listen, and you always do exactly what God tells you. Well, we shall see. We'll see. In this certain section here, John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, he touches on some things, and it's a parable of the shepherd. Jesus talks about himself as a shepherd, and there's really some beautiful things in here, I think, that God has for us to help us to kind of learn this idea of listening. You know, when my kids were little, I have three kids, and I just love them to death. When they were littler, there was one thing that I trained them to do, and that's when Dad whistled, and yes, I can whistle with all of my fingers, but when I whistled, if they were over at the park, we live by a park, and if they're over the park and they heard Dad's whistle, which was very distinctive, I have a very distinct shrill when I whistle, they would come running. And that was kind of that was an important rule. And when they would respond, oh, good job, that's exactly what I want. When I call you guys, when I whistle, you come, because there's certain things we have to do. There's dinner and got to go to bed and things like that. And there would be times where they wouldn't listen. I had to track them down, and we had to work through that as well. But I just wonder, maybe a big part of our problem is we listen to voices that aren't the one we should be listening to. And God himself steps out in Scripture here and says, listen to me. Can you hear me now? So there's a number of places in the Bible where we see God speaks through prophets. My goodness, in the Old Testament, through Moses and Elijah, we see where God said, thus saith the Lord. Lots of situations where God spoke in different ways. He speaks in loud thunders. He in whispers. If you remember the story of Elijah, actually a storm came and he busted the rocks as Elijah was in a cave, and then he steps out. And then how did God end up finally talking to Elijah? In a whisper. Elijah, why are you here? He just wanted to tell Elijah, go out and do what I told you to do. Sometimes God speaks in a whisper. For me personally, he speaks through his word all the time. He directs me. And there again, I don't always listen. To my own detriment, really. He wants us. There's one Old Testament section. I don't have the verses on the PowerPoint here, but I think this is just kind of incredible, and I think I'm kind of like maybe like Balaam. Here we are, a story in Numbers chapter 22. If you have a smartphone or a paper Bible, if you want to follow along, I'll just read these verses. Maybe you can just listen. But here's a situation where God did something very unique. He spoke through a donkey so that Balaam might listen to him. So let me just read this story to you. It says, so Balaam rose, it's verse 21 of chapter 22 of Numbers. So we're in the Old Testament. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Here's what he says in verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? I'll go on. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way? And he said, no. Balaam finally kind of come to realize, he said, no. You're right, donkey. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. So Balaam, God reveals himself to Balaam with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. Finally, realization came to him. There it is. He bowed down and fell on his face. Wow, God will do whatever it takes to help us listen, to help us hear his voice. Even if it takes speaking through the mouth of the donkey, God will do it. Maybe this morning, if we would humble ourselves, if we would surrender enough to be in tune, we might hear God. I love this from the Psalm. Psalm 29, verses actually 3 through 9. And it speaks of the voice of the Lord. Read it with me if you would. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory! One day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. One day, that will happen. And we'll have an opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord, or yet again, turn. God knows what we need. So, stepping into our text today, we're going to look at John, verses 10 through 21. We'll just read them together, and I'll just make a few comments as we go through this. I've just put 3 points in there, but I'm going to pray one more time, and I'd invite you to pray with me. I'm not the only one that knows how to pray. Hopefully, you all do. It's like talking to your best friend. So, I'm going to pray. God, I love you. I love the relationship that I have with you. Thank you that you're real and I know you and you know me. Jesus, oh my goodness, thank you for that. I pray today, as we know you, those of us that know you and have relationship with you today, God, you would just reveal yourself, that we would hear you, Lord. that this morning, if you were to say to us, can you hear me now? We look up into your face and say, yes, Lord. Yes, we do. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to kind of fly through most of these verses. So we're in John, Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're starting with verse 1. Read it with me if you would, please. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Let's continue on with verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's just kind of a little visual, an artist's rendition of what maybe a sheep pen might look like in the day. Something that Jesus is actually describing. He's using this illustration to talk about himself, to talk about God, who he is. Jesus is God. He's using this illustration to talk about himself. Now, what would typically be the situation, they would have one of these pens that a number of probably different farmers worked together to build. So outside the city, they'd have this, and they would have a hired hand. The hired hand would be that person who's at the gate, who would sleep right there as the door of the gate. So the gatekeeper, if you will, would be there, and when the shepherd of a certain flock would come, the shepherd would call his sheep. He would come to the door. The gatekeeper would recognize if this was indeed a shepherd, and he would allow the shepherd then to go ahead and call his sheep. Interestingly enough, a number of different flocks might be in the same enclosure that throughout the city, different shepherds had different flocks, and they would bring them in, and they would all be in this enclosure. But what's so amazing, God in his infinite power has even created the sheep so that they would recognize this shepherd's distinctive call. So when the shepherd would step into place to take his sheep out to pasture, because at night, we talked about the danger of the thief or robber or a wolf coming in. So that's why they're doing this in the first place. So in the evenings, they would bring the different flocks and they would be protected here. Because a thief or a robber or a wolf or whatever it might be, the only way they could get in there, theoretically, is through the gate. And that's why they did this, to protect their flocks. And then they would come, the shepherds would take their sheep out to pasture. So each night, that was kind of the process. And this is the illustration that Jesus gives us. And a lot of people listening in this particular situation that the Apostle John is describing as he writes this, some were getting it and some were not. Probably in this room, some of us will get it and some will not. Things haven't changed all that much. So today I want to just talk about three helps in recognizing God's voice. Are you at that place where you personally think that you recognize God's voice? Or, my goodness, what voices are you listening to? Hopefully we are listening to God. Because there's a lot of clamoring out there. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of influences that are just a distraction and detrimental to our life. They are. So three helps. We'll just look at that kind of as a backdrop for these particular verses. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now he's describing the sheep, of course. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Again, as we read further, we'll see that some were beginning to get it, and some were understanding, and some were not. Just like it says here, Apostle John says, some were not understanding what he was saying to them. I'm going to show you a little video, maybe to give us a little more of a visual of this idea of a certain flock of sheep recognizing the shepherd's voice. I think it's a great illustration. I think one of the best ways for us to hear God's voice is to know him. And really in that illustration, I've watched it more times than you, but it's just a powerful illustration. You know, it's not me. I'm not the one that you need to follow. And those sheep, they responded. That was from the Lord. God knows. And we can be confident that this morning, God is calling some to himself. And they're responding. You know what? It's not up to me. It's not up to this sermon. It's not up to this church. God himself has that under control. And I praise Jesus for that, because he's going to take care of us. He's a good shepherd. Know him. You know, when a friend calls you, how do you know it isn't just a prank caller? Someone just calls you out of the blue. How do you recognize that? Because you know your friend. You know his voice. You know his anxiousness in his voice. You know whether it's your mom or your brothers and sisters. You know, oh, this is my friend. So you recognize that. You recognize his voice. And how does that happen? Well, it takes time, doesn't it? It takes time over the years for me to get to know my friend. And we go through some hard things together, or we go through some good things together. And over time, we know each other. We know how to respond. And, you know, I think God wants that from us. Whether you're a believer or an unbelief, or you don't even know where you stand right now, that closeness, that nearness is a gift from God. But you got to get near him too. I mean, pursue him in the word. Pursue him in prayer. That's how we come to know our Creator. He does speak. My goodness, did you see the sunrise this morning? Was my God in that? Have you seen a baby born recently? That'll take your breath away. God speaks. Loud and clear sometimes. Sometimes just in a whisper. I like this quote from John Piper. Consider Jesus. Know Jesus. Learn what kind of person it is you say you trust and love and worship. Soak in the shadow of Jesus. Saturate your soul with the ways of Jesus. Watch him. Listen to him. Stand in awe of him. Let him overwhelm you with the way he is. I appreciate that. Appreciate that from John Piper. What a good thought. Verse 7, continuing on. So Jesus, again, said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, he's not referring to Moses and Elijah and all the prophets before. Who he's referring to is what the religious system in place at this time had fallen to. The Judaism, the different things that were going on, the religion of the time had fallen to works. That this is how you get to heaven. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. And people were not hearing the voice. Jesus, God himself, was speaking to them. He was right there. I am the Messiah. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the way and the truth. You get the theme of this week after week, part 19. Every part, it's like Jesus is, this is who I am. I am God. Here I am. Listen to me. Listen to me. Here I am. I'm the one you not need to know. I'm the one. And he just keeps coming back and keeps coming back. But right here, he just says, there's many that will try to jump over into the sheepfold, thieves and robbers. Oh my goodness, we see it. There's lots of different things that take us away from the Lord. There's things that become idols in our life that just distract us at best. But I like what he said on the end of this verse. But the sheep did not hear them. God has power over the thieves and robbers. We have to remember that. Our God's in charge here. Verse 9 goes on to say, Jesus himself is speaking here. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and live it abundantly. Another translation says you might have the full life, little saying I used to love to say to my kids, Dad, what are you going to do today? I said, I'm going to live life to the fullest, son. Daughters, I'm going to live life to the fullest today. And what's that look like? Well, that's relationship with the Lord. I mean, is the life that you're living right now, personally, do you feel like it's abundant and all it can be? Are you going out and coming in and finding pasture? You feel secure? You feel taken care of? Do you have a hope and a future? Do you know where you're going? Man, I don't know a lot of things, but that I know. I know him, and my hope is in him, and I know where I'm going. And I'm so thankful for that. Is it life-giving? Are the voices that are predominant in your life, is it Fox Network or is it the Lord? I mean, it's easy. My goodness, the internet is in our faces, and that's not the only thing. I'm not saying the internet's evil. There's lots of voices out there that take us away from the one true God, and he will not put up with it. He will set things straight. I'm so thankful for that. So think about your own life. I think it's good just to, okay, in my marriage, in my parenting, you know, I think of my family, and over the years we've grown and we've had disagreements and we've worked through them, and I love my wife, and God's blessed us with a marriage that he's in the center of. Has it been a magic carpet ride? No, at times it's been hard. But now I know the Lord is helping us. He's helping me as a dad. Have I made a lot of mistakes as a dad? Oh my goodness, I still am. But you know what's at the center? My king, my leader, the voice that I want to hear from is God. There's so many shiny things out there that can distract a squirrel, and then we're off. It's, you know, and I make light of it, but it's true. We can be so deceived, and you're not exempt from that. Whether you're a believer or not, we have the tendency to be deceived. That could happen to you today. Here's just a few interesting leading beliefs. Or not leading beliefs. That's not the right way to describe these. But there's just some, I think they're distractions. Okay, and I was just kind of looking. Yes, I looked on the internet and I took information off of there. And just these were just a couple things I'll describe to you that people actually buy into and follow. And folks, we're prone to that. Mankind historically, ever since Moses went to Mount Sinai and all the people started worshiping gold cows, remember that? That's our tendencies. We get distracted and we follow something else. We quit listening to the voice. We go, maybe that's the way I should go. Here's some examples. An e-meter, top left there, is an electronic device manufactured by the Church of Scientology at their gold-based production facility. It is used as an aid by Dianetics and Scientology counselors and counselors in training in some forms of auditing. The application of the techniques of Dianetics and Scientology to another or to oneself for the express purpose of addressing spiritual issues. Man, if that's true, we all need to get us one of those. The bottom right corner, that one, this one just bothered me. I'd ask my wife, it'd be okay, you know, it's baby throwing. I said, listen to this. A temple in India is the site of a very unusual and potentially dangerous religious ritual. As the name suggests, babies between the ages of 1 and 2 are thrown from a 50-foot tower with men positioned beneath to catch the babies on sheets. The 700-year-old ceremony is believed to make children more intelligent, luckier, and healthier, and is practiced by both Muslims and Hindus in the region. That alarms me. Oh, it just does. Kapero is a traditional Jewish religious ritual that takes place around the time of the high holidays. Classically, it is performed by grasping a live chicken by the shoulder blades and moving around one's head 3 times symbolically, transferring one's sins to the chicken. The chicken is then slaughtered and donated to the poor, preferably eaten at the pre-Yom Kippur feast. The whirling dervish up there, dance or Sufi whirling that is proverbially associated with dervishes is best known in the West by the practices in Turkey, and is part of a formal ceremony known as the Sema. It is, however, also practiced by other orders. The Sema is only one of the many Sufi ceremonies performed to try to reach religious ecstasy. This practice, though not intended as entertainment, has become a tourist attraction in Turkey. You know, I am not interested in belittling anyone. I am just saying, mankind, you and me, we have the tendency to be distracted and deceived. We want to, I beg of you this morning, listen to the one voice of Jesus the King. Protect you and help you in life and help me in life. We'll focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because, my goodness, we have a tendency to look at shiny things. Let's move on. John 10:11. The King himself. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus promises, I will die for you. Remember at the time that he's painting here, the picture that he's painting, this is before Jesus hits the cross. This is before the crucifixion. And here he promises the people that he's speaking to, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I will die for you. He goes on to say, verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. You know, again, the picture he's painting here is of that gatekeeper. Now, the gatekeeper is not necessarily, would not be the shepherd. It'd be not be the owner of the flock, if you will. He would be the one that's just, he was a hired hand to keep the flock safe. And then when the shepherds come, the different shepherds in the city, he would let them in or take them out. But there would be a situation, perhaps, where a wolf might come and this hired hand, to save his own skin, might run off. It's kind of what he's describing here. And boy, we see that as you go through life and different times in my life, I've gone from no responsibility to responsibility at different situations in the secular world, working as a construction worker. I went from being just the helper to having responsibility. I remember at one point as an electrician on Coors Field, I worked on that job, and they gave me, one of the hats I got to wear was the safety guy. And of all guys, me, I was the one who's always getting hurt. But they gave me the safety hat to take care, and they sent me to classes and stuff, and I would have a weekly safety meeting. We had over 100 electricians and lots of laborers and people, and this is before I knew Jesus, and I just, they would listen to what I said. You know, I say, you need to listen to this so you don't die. Turn the electricity off before you touch things. And there was just different things, safety things you have to do. Back in the day, we didn't even know what safety meant. And that's another story. But there's a responsibility. Jesus is trying to describe himself as the manager. It stops. He's taken the responsibility. He's the initiator. He's the creator of the universe. He started it. He'll take care of it. He will judge it. He will punish those that need to be punished. He is the one. The buck stops here. He's not the hired hand. And he's just making that clear right here to remember some of his people are entrenched in the religious culture that they lived in. And they were expecting a Messiah, and they were studying and working hard to make sure that this would be happen, and all these things would be in place. And here was the Messiah in their face talking to them. I'm the one. I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm the one that can take care of you. I am your God. I am the Creator. And right there, he's just speaking to them. Verses 13 through 15. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There's that promise yet again. I will die for You remember, this is on the other side of the actual crucifixion. He hasn't gone and gone through that process, but he knows that's where he's headed, and he's revealing that to the people. I will die for you. The good shepherd, he will follow through. I'm going to take care of the sin problem of the world. He just steps in, and he just, again, in a loving way. I don't think he does it in a harsh, mean way. He just keeps relentlessly loving them. I am the good shepherd. I'm the one you need to follow. I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that knit you together in your mother's womb. I am the one that knows what's best for you. Follow me. Follow me. Hear this through the eyes. Hear this through the delivery in love. God loves us. Is it a life given? So when you hear these different voices, or when we hear all this clatter, is it someone that's promising you that they'll die for you? You know, is this thing or this movement or whatever it be this that you're following, is it someone that would die for you? Is it a life given? You know, many faith leaders are not willing to die for what they believe. Are we? Do we? I think sometimes we have to do a little self-examination. Move on to verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Oh my goodness. So right here, Jesus is just saying, you know what? Jews and Gentiles alike. Right here, he just opens it up. And to the Jews that some of them were listening, they were just not getting it. No, not the Gentiles too. Not this lower class of people that I can't even eat with. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm the good shepherd. All these flocks from different nations and walks of life and different ethnicities and the whole world. Jesus says, I speak to everyone. I am the good shepherd. And I want you all to be with me. There's such promise in that. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. You know, the Bible clearly speaks and communicates that oneness with God is possible. He promises that we can step into this relationship with Jesus, that we're actually invited into it. And once we step into that, we are in the family of God. He gives us a church, and the way he describes it here is there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus as the head. We're the body of Christ. Like it or not, he put us together. He's working in our lives for our own good. He wants us to be together so he can teach us and he can speak to us so we can hear his voice, so we're more apt to be in a situation where we hear it. When we're off on our own, we're less apt to hear from the Lord. Because why? There's shiny things, there's deception, there's things out there that work on our flesh that we get drawn to. We need to be in the protection of the flock with our good shepherd in place as he leads us along. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I'm so thankful for that. Verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Here we see a glimpse of the Trinity, and he's going to expound on this a little bit. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. There's a lot in this scripture right here. Take it home and drill down on it. He hasn't been to the cross yet. That's where he's headed. This is what he's communicating. For this reason, I'm going to die for you. This sin problem that came in the world ever since Adam and Eve is real, and it's present, and all sin and fall short of the glory of God. He's saying, but I'm the answer. I'm God. I'm the creator, and I'm going to surrender. I'm going to willingly, as God, as the king of the universe, humble myself and come as a little tiny baby born in a manger, helpless, grow up to be a man, to the situation as he is right here, willingly, he is marching towards the cross. And all along the way, everything is very intentional. He's talking to these people over there. He's talking to these people here. He has his close group of disciples who he'll send out and give the Holy Spirit after he leaves. But very intentionally, he knows what he's doing. In this situation, we see God the Son, Jesus, God the Father as one. I lay it down. I will surrender. But here's the thing. I will take it up again. Can a man do that? No. Can God do that? He did. Yes. I like this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. It says, a true shepherd leads the way. He does not merely point the way. This is actually what God did for us. He did actually die on the cross for us, and he conquered death, and he rose from the dead, and he lives. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There it is, Jesus, I am God. There again, lovingly in his hearer's face, maybe hopefully in our face today. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. I am God. And he conquered death. He rose above death. That, there we go. No other religious leader even compares to Christ. No. It just falls short. Every other religious leader is either alive or dead. Jesus Christ is the only one who was dead. He did die in our place. He was crucified. He died physically for our sins. We see that in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. And is now alive. Actually, in Revelations chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, for time's sake, I'm going to keep rolling here. He just says that he is alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. My God lives. Those of us who are believers, that's true today. He didn't just die for us and then run off. He conquered death. He knew that was all part of it, and now he lives. And there was a time when he ascended into heaven, and he knew we would still need him, presence. So he gave his Holy Spirit. He gave the other part of the Trinity. It says in the Bible that for believers, when you step into belief, it's sealed inside you. You're talking about like a signet ring. It'd have a ring and a king when he made a decree and he was to send the messenger, let it be written. Then he would take his thing into the wax. He would seal it. And God has promised us as believer, that's what he gives us, the Spirit, once we become a believer. And it's sealed inside us, it says in Ephesians. Praise God for that, because I need him so desperately. I need his help, and so do you. We need him in all these things that we come up against. No other religious leader claims that. I mean, they don't make such a claim. A claim like that is either true or it's utterly preposterous. I'll stand here to say, I believe it's true. And I'm so thankful that it is. Because I can rest in that. I can be in that. Verse 19 and 20. There was, a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Verse 21. And others said, these are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So again, we see, even after all this, the Messiah himself, Jesus himself, lovingly, reassuringly, constantly, I am God. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am God. I am God. I am God. Continually. Some listened and some did not. Tragically, in the universe today, some will listen and some will not. But God knows. God knows who's going to, he knows who's in the flock. He knows who's going to respond to him. I'm so thankful. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. I didn't do anything to deserve it. But by God's grace, he gave me the gift of eternal life. I'm so thankful for that. And he offers it to you, to any and all. He makes himself real clear. He doesn't hide it. It isn't a secret code. If you hear his voice, respond to it. It's his thing. He's doing it. And once we come into that relationship, things start to change, and our love relationship with him becomes just everything. He becomes Lord of our life, and we begin to change. And with that spirit inside of us, he starts working on us, sanctifying us so that we want to serve him, so we want to express our life to him as worship. We want to lay it down for him as he laid his down for us. You just visibly see it. I see it time and time again. That's why I got up this morning, because I know he could do it again, and he's going to do it again. And it's his thing. I'm so thankful that he's in charge. Where do you stand this morning? I like this verse from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. As it is said today, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Is Jesus, is his voice, is God's voice the most important voice in your life? Is it? There's a lot of voices out there. Oh my goodness, we live in a time where there's a lot of confusing voices out there. A lot of things that steal our time. A lot of shiny things that we get consumed with that we think are important. Oh my goodness, even family and marriage and the things that we cling to and work so hard for. Don't let it get in the way. He has the best in mind for us. I'm going to end with this quote from Sinclair Ferguson. It says, the way in which God leads us is the way of following Christ in bearing the cross. Any guidance which contradicts this principle will lack the familiar autograph of Christ. Any voice which beckons us to forsake this pathway, we will silence, for we will have come to recognize the accents of our master. There is no voice like the voice of the one who has been crucified. I agree with that. I'm just going to pray, and that's the end of our part today, part 19. Next week we'll pick up with our part 20, and actually it's just right on the heels of this. I can't wait for next week's message. It's just Jesus just continually just revealing himself as a good shepherd. It's just a clear visual of how he cares for us. So I'm going to just pray and thank him this morning. If you have any questions whatsoever, you feel like maybe God's tugging on your heart, his voice is, you want to hear it, and you just don't quite know what that looks like, please come and talk to me. Most of the people in this room right now, they have a relationship. They know Jesus, and we would love to talk to you. It doesn't have to be a pastor. You know, just like the blind man when Jesus healed him. He said, you know, what happened? Who did it? Why are you doing it? And he said, I don't know. All I do really know is I was blind and now I see. And ultimately, that's my story. Well, I'll tell you what, I've learned some things. I don't know everything, but once I was blind, now I see. And I praise God for that. That's his doing. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your anointed word. I thank you that you give us the Bible. You didn't hide it from us, God. It's just clear. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be men and women that hear you, Lord. That's a gift from you. Lord, I don't pretend to think that I've got it all figured out, Lord. We can't do the right thing to get to you, Lord. We need you to do the right thing. Lord, more clearly, you have done the right thing. You were crucified. You died for us, Lord. And you invite us into relationship with you, and I just praise you for that, God. Today I pray just help us know you more intimately. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.